You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Captured in Florida, 18-year-old Dalton Hayes and 13-year-old Cheyenne Phillips were apprehended without incident when they were found sleeping in a stolen pickup in Panama City. AP correspondent Jennifer Kay reports Grayson County, Kentucky Sheriff Norman Chaffins says that he talked with Hayes, who's sitting in jail.
And the sheriff says the 18-year-old just wants to come home. He says he spoke with Dalton and he was very scared and he wanted Chaffins to come and bring him home.
The couple was scheduled to make a court appearance today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, Martin Luther King Day. The weather is mostly cloudy with a high near 42, west winds 15 to 17 miles per hour. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 24 and west winds 6 to 9 miles per hour. Tuesday is going to be partly sunny with a high near 37. Northwest winds 6 to 8 miles an hour. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 24. North wind around 5 miles per hour, and it's becoming calm after midnight. Wednesday is a chance of snow before 1 p.m., then rain and snow likely. Mostly cloudy with a high near 34. Light northwest winds, chance of precipitation is 60%, and a snow accumulation is about 1 to 2 inches as possible. Wednesday night, snow is likely, mainly before 8 p.m., and mostly cloudy with a low around 20. The chance of precipitation is 60%. You are listening to Mental Health Matters, and I am on the phone with Mike Skinner. Mike, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Good. I'm saying, that sounds like he's live. I'm getting the weather report.
Yeah, I was, and you were getting it.
Nice. Now I feel better.
Well, like folks.
Sub-zero.
Right. Well, folks, you're listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we try to help people who either have someone in their family or is associated with someone or a friend or whatever, relative, who has a mental health issue. We run classes. We run support groups. We try to help people, you know, get through their lives in spite of their illness. And we are very privileged today to have Mike Skinner with us. And Mike is from New Hampshire. And some of you old people like me will remember a television show called Have Gun, Will Travel. Mike's quote is, have guitar, will travel. Isn't that right, Mike?
That is correct. You can probably guess where I got that from.
Well, we won't tell.
There was no copyright law on that.
Exactly. No, I don't think so. Actually, I'm going to, you know, I would take about 15 minutes to read Mike's biography. So I'm not going to take 15 minutes. I'm going to just skip through a few things. But Michael Skinner is a nationally known award-winning advocate. He's an educator, a writer, and critically acclaimed singer, songwriter, guitarist, and survivor of horrific child abuse. He addresses the issues of trauma, abuse, and mental health concerns through public speaking, writing, and his music. And I strongly suggest later on in the program, will Michael tell us how to get some of his albums or all of his albums. I've heard them, and I think they're awesome. He has spoken at the National Press Club. He was a keynote speaker for a conference held by the United Nations, the State Department, Georgetown University on sexual exploitation and trafficking of children and adults, and he was part of the groundbreaking Oprah Winfrey Show that addressed the issues of males sexually abused as childs, as children, actually. Since 1993, Mike's uplifting and heartwarming story of hope, healing, and help has impacted thousands of people every year throughout the country. His presentations at colleges, universities, high schools, mental health centers, conferences, churches, civic groups, sexual assault, domestic violence support centers, and conferences, including a women's prison in Hawaii, are highly acclaimed. He's appeared on TV, radio, and internet radio shows such as ours, and has been the subject of many news articles regarding child abuse and mental health. Mike is also a frequent and sought-after blogger on several websites and writer of articles for mental health publications. There's a lot more I could say, but like I said, I don't want to take 15 more minutes up. I'd rather get to some of the issues.
I'm trying to feel self-conscious here.
Well, don't let the head get too big. I mean, you know. But no, it's all well-deserved, Mike. I really mean that. I think Mike and I met, oh, I don't know, what is it, last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, it was. Jeez, really? Seems like many, many moons ago, but...
April or May, wasn't it?
I believe it was, right. And we met at a Governor Christie in New Jersey has a council on avoiding, breaking stigma for associated with mental health. And in fact, Michael received an award for that through his music and speech and writing and websites and all that. And this radio show got one. Mental Health Matters got an award also. That's how I met Mike. And I was impressed with his biography. Did a little more research into his... what do you call those things you send out monthly?
The Surviving Spirit Newsletter.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I knew what it was called. I just forgot what it was called, newsletter. I knew there was a Surviving Spirit.
Newsletter, it's a Surviving Spirit, which is what we are.
Well, yeah, actually, you are mainly. I'm a family member, so, you know.
Okay.
But, yes, you are, definitely. And you can tell I'm not highly educated in the newer... iPads and, you know, all that jazz now. I barely can turn my cell phone on, so it's,
Yeah, we're in the same boat.
But you do a newsletter, which I can't even pronounce.
But
So anyway, if you would, Mike, I really would appreciate just a little blurb on your story and how you personally got into this kind of work, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Basically, what brought me into the mental health arena and raising awareness, educating as best I can on the issues of trauma and abuse and how that impacts on mental health, was the simple fact back in 1993 that I'll just say the horrors of my past came back to haunt me, if you will, all the childhood abuse and the trauma.
Okay.
And what I didn't know at the time was I was in a, you know, a depression. It was a major depression. And then I was dealing with post-traumatic stress. And so there was a lot of flashbacks and all the rest of it. And this was, you know, I was at the ripe old age of 39. And at 39, I was, you know, happily married. I had five children. We, you know, we had a home. My ex was a stay-at-home mom. We were together. We had been together for 21 years. And I was a professional musician, so I still played on the weekends drumming with bands. But I also owned my own music company, which was representing other bands and a sound and lighting company, small record company. So mm-hmm. I had a really good life. And then all this, you know, this stuff, if you will, hit me and just laid me down so low, you know, the depression, I couldn't work. But what made it worse, Larry, was the whole stigma and discrimination, not only by family members and friends and business associates, but within the mental health community, even the treatment providers or medical providers. And I was just, because when I outlined everything that I just, what I had at that point was my identity. You know, I was a father, I was a husband, I was a business owner, I was all these things. Now all I kept hearing is, I'm mentally ill, I'm mentally mm-hmm. ill, and I can never do anything. And the other thing is that they put me on so many medications, I just became a zombie. And it was basically, Larry, to cut to the chase, it was the mistreatment and the stigma and discrimination. And I was just so angry, and I was hurt. But then I thought, well, how can I turn this around? So I took my anger and frustration and sadness, and I channeled it into starting to speak out and writing songs on it. And little by little, you know, people were hearing me. I was at presentations or, you know, walk-a-thons, and
right,
I was doing things with NAMI and all kinds of other organizations. And it just, you know, it's brought me to where I am here today. So it's just been a process, and it wasn't what I set out to do. But again, it was just my anger and frustration, you know. And we think of today that, you know, today is, you know, Martin Luther King's Day and how he advocated for civil rights. Well, I feel that all of what we're doing to raise awareness on the issues of the stigma and discrimination around mental health concerns, it is a civil rights issue. It's a civil rights issue for those who've been traumatized and abused, and we're being mistreated. You know, it's mm-hmm. I go to that question, you know, what happened to you is opposed to what's wrong with you. And so that's, in a nutshell, is, you know, it's part and parcel, but it's the biggest, you know, one of the reasons why I do what I do is because I was so horribly hurt. But what drove me to lead to this lie was the fact when I started just meeting so many others and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not alone in this. If it was just my story, it would be like, oh, okay, you know, bad mm-hmm. luck.
Right.
But
right.
there's just, you know, basically millions of people, you know, struggle with this. So that's what led me to becoming an advocate in this.
And, you know, it's funny because, well, not funny, that's a poor choice of words, but it's ironic that I'm sitting here today. My youngest son has paranoid schizophrenia, and mm-hmm. he developed it when he was just 20, and he had come home from his first semester of college, and I was going to do some painting, and back then it was all oil-based paint. There was no, you know, watercolors and stuff like that. It was all oil-based. So I had bought a two-gallon can of turpentine, and he came home and drank it. Mm. And they don't know. The doctors are just amazed that it didn't burn his whole insides out and everything, his throat and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
But it didn't. And he was hospitalized for, you know, 3-4 days while they pumped his stomach and everything, and they released him. He then was home for about 3 days, and he attempted suicide a second time. And then he went to a clinic here for 28 days till my insurance ran out. And they transferred him to the state hospital in Trenton, where he was there for 19 and a half months. They transferred him to another state hospital, and he was there for about 10 and a half months. And after he got out, he was in and out numerous times. And through the first 6 years, I did everything, read everything, would have done anything to help him, but I wouldn't talk about it.
Right.
And, you know, we have four children, and my youngest is the one who's ill, and they'd ask, how's the family? Oh, Paul's doing this, Scott's doing that, Cherry's doing that, and everything's fine, you know, and I'd never mention my youngest son. My wife would want to talk about things, and I'd go in the other room and read a book, or I'd get in the car and go down and get a cup of coffee in the diner. She brought me to, after 6 years of putting up with this, she brought me to what they call intensive family support, which is like in every state, but I think they call it different things in different states. But anyway, the lady that long since retired, but she says, you have to do what works for you to accept this, because it's not going to go away. You know?
Right. Right.
Yes, he can live a quote unquote normal life, but it's not going to go away. You know, his illness is there. It's a lifetime thing, and that's it, you know. And she says, whatever works for you to do it, do it. Now, this is going to sound morbid, but or weird even, but what worked for me was I pictured my son dead in a casket in my mind. And I buried him in my mind. But I have another son, and that son has mental illness. And he is also epileptic. And I will do anything I can to help him. And that's how I started dealing with it. That's how then I got and took the family-to-family class and got involved with NAMI and been involved ever since. You know, my wife and I have been. But it's, you know, I understand the stigma.
Right.
Totally, you know. And I don't say I'm happy with what I did because I'm totally not, because there were 6 years I wouldn't deal with it, you know. I'd go on rants that they put people on a moon, they walk in space, they can drop a bomb on the head of a pin 5,000 miles away, but they can't stop my son from hearing voices in his head and reacting to them, you know.
Right.
But, hey, you know, his thing now, he has his own apartment. He's doing very well, in fact. He has his own apartment. He volunteers at the hospital 4 days a week, and he'd like to get a job, but, you know, with the epilepsy and everything, he has problems with it, you know, and plus they're not hiring a lot in this economy. So, but his idea is to live his life to the fullest in spite of his illness. And
good.
What else can you ask for? You know, it's just, you know, but dealing with people when we do support groups and so on and so forth, so many people tell us that their families tell them, just get over it. You know, move on. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Go out and get a job, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's like, what do you tell them?
Well, one of the things that has helped me in that respect, and it still hurts to hear that, but learning that whatever went on in your son's life, that, you know, because the trauma, and the trauma of schizophrenia, you know, being in a hospital, all those things, that literally can rewire our brain chemistry. And it's not that we have a defective brain. We weren't born mentally ill. We didn't have these bad genes. Life happened, and, you know, the same for myself. You know, there were things that people just didn't know. But I learned in reading as much as I can and studying on the effects of the trauma abuse in my life, it did change the development of my brain as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that I'm weak or a defective. It's just I've had to learn to do different things, as have so many other people. And if we have a community of caring and support, darn it, your son would be able, if not a job, but at least be volunteering and helping with people, and that would do wonders for his self-esteem and his healing.
Well, that's what he does. Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
He volunteers 4 days a week at the hospital. So,
excellent.
You know.
So that's perfect. So,
right. It is.
You know,
it's a great environment, too. You know?
Right.
but
so there's just so much to this, but that those words, that those statements, those are so hurtful, and they're actually their ignorance. And you think about it, a lot of that is based in fear, and people don't know. And you know, in that statement, you know, if you haven't walked in someone's shoes, you know, don't be judging. And
mm-hmm.
that is so true. I know for myself, years ago, I too was ignorant on, you know, mental health
sure.
challenges,
absolutely.
Trauma and abuse. I didn't know. So when one of my siblings was severely depressed, I didn't say, you know, just get over it, but I thought, because he had been a hard worker, I said, well, you know, can't you just go back to work?
Right.
I just did, you know, I can't take that back, but I've learned since that, you know, he couldn't go to work at that point because he was just so darn depressed.
Right, right. And, you know, it's got to be hurtful for the people who are hearing this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times it's ignorance on the family part.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's the stigma attached to the mental illness or, you know, whatever, mental health issues of whatever sort.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I talk to people like that, I suggest that they try to get their families to come to what, you know, services that are available that may enlighten them a little bit. But I say to them, you know, if you can't, you can get through this on your own. It takes a while. It's very difficult. And, you know, it's a lot easier if you have someone you can fall back on and talk to. I says, but if it's not family, there's organizations out there that can help you. And you don't have to do it alone. Yeah, it's nice if your family understood and helped you, you know. But if they're not, move on, you know. Go ahead. No.
Because sadly, there are a lot of families that are not supportive, and that hurts and it's debilitating. But this is where we can learn to find a new family of friends, you know, peer support. And even if someone hasn't walked in your shoes, at least folks that are kind and caring and not afraid of you, because that's one of the biggest, well, there's so many facets to this, but fear. So, you know, so your son with that label, you know, how many people are going to think inside, oh, he's dangerous because he's, you know, quote unquote,
right.
you know, the mentally ill. And no, he's not going to be hurting you. It's just ignorance and, you know, based in fear.
Right. And the fear comes about a lot of times because the only people you hear about with mental illness is the ones who are shooting and, you know,
right.
hurting people, you know.
And that is such a tiny, minuscule.
The percentage is so minute that
it's ridiculous.
It is. But that's what the press or, you know, the news or whatever, that's what they focus on rather than all the good that people do. You know, when I do a monthly with another woman, I do a monthly presentation for educational services. And we've been doing it for almost 3 years now, every month. And we show she shows, because, again, it's PowerPoint, and I'm not that familiar with all that jazz. But she shows a list of, you know, people, famous people who have had mental illness or who currently have it. And, you know, there's always a couple on there that just boggle my mind. You know,
yeah.
Buzz Aldrin is an astronaut, walked on a moon, suffers
exactly.
from severe depression, you know. Winston Churchill carried England on his back for, what, 7 years?
The same with Abraham Lincoln.
Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, I have trouble saying the pronunciation of it, but it's like a ragophobia or he can't walk into a room with more than three or four people.
Oh, agoraphobia.
Yeah, okay. That's it. I have trouble saying it, like I said. When he was writing the Declaration of Independence, when he would get a page or two written, he'd get a hold of Ben Franklin and meet him on a corner and hand it to him and let Franklin go in and present it because he wouldn't go in.
Wow.
Yeah,
see,
and that's a fact. Right.
This is great. We get... And, love history. This is good.
And he would stand on a platform on a balcony. He'd talk to 5,000 people. It wouldn't bother him. But he couldn't walk into a room with 10, you know. So it's, you know, and all these Letterman just come out He suffers from depression, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people like that that do come out and admit to it, you know, I think it's helpful, you know, because people can say, oh, hey, look, you know, look at what they're doing and they have it, you know.
And I agree. But I often wonder, you know, I'm thinking my neighborhood or where you live, and it's, you know, because as you said, let's use David Letterman. He's come out that he's, you know, dealt with depression and stuff. Everyone in my neighborhood would think it's cool that, oh, he's moving in. You know, he's self-disclosed. He has this depression. But I wonder if they'd be as welcoming if your son came to, you know, want to purchase a home.
Well, there, that's another stigma, you know.
Yeah, the celebrities seem to get a pass, or they say, oh, isn't that brave of them to step forward? But when the average person is stepping forward,
exactly. No, I understand perfectly. It's, yeah. But I think that with more famous people coming out, I think it helps.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree.
But I agree with what you said. If, you know, if Letterman would want to move up to New Hampshire in your area, you know, everybody be, you know, boy, this is great, terrific, you know. But, you know.
By the whole neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But, you know, and it's sad because, I tell some of these people who are suffering with the, and their families tell them, oh, get over it, or their wife or husband tells them to get over it. I can't imagine how hurtful that is. But, you know, and instead of saying, gee, let's get through this together, you know, and try to find a recourse for it or whatever, it's get over it. Go get a job.
It's a betrayal, Larry, because I experienced that and it hurts. And it still hurts me to this day. I have found ways to move on with my life, but that pain is always going to be with me. And it's not that I sit around and, you know, wallow in self-pity. It's the fact that this hurt me. The fact that my ex of 21 years left and then, you know, painted me as this, you know, crazy, maniacal man to be afraid of to our children, and they became afraid. And then friends who I'd known since childhood would not come around. You know, some of them are coming around now, but I remember when all I needed was just, you know, come by with a, you know, have a cup of coffee with you, just let me know that you care, because I'm not a dangerous person.
Right.
That stuff hurts, and I always feel like I'm having to defend myself that, no, I'm not a dangerous person. And that's so wrong. It's a judgment. And I think, you know, because, again, this today's civil rights, you think of those of different color or different religions, the stigma that they deal with, how they're lumped and labeled as, you know, all one way, and it's so false. It's so wrong.
Right. I agree 100%. And, you know, it's like, you know, there's quotes that I've got from your website or whatever. I guess it was your website. And, you know, the one that, well, there's a couple that struck me. But one of them is, go to where the silence is and say something.
Right.
You know, it was Amy Goodman. And I don't know who Amy Goodman is, but I tell you what, I think it's an excellent quote.
It's one of my favorites.
You know.
The things we don't want to talk about, that's what we need to talk about.
Exactly. You know, and there's another one. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you.
Yeah.
And that was Maya Angelou. I can't pronounce her name. I'm having trouble. I'm stumbling over it.
Okay, but Maya Angelou,
But she was in the current Reader's Digest. Someone wrote about meeting her and something she said to that person who got them through their rough parts of their life. So that is kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah, no, she is, talk about creative and an advocate. I mean, she wore many, many hats. She just passed away a little while ago, but boy,
What an incredible human being. And again, coming from a place of, you know, love and understanding.
Right.
So, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, but, you know, it's just, we have to keep fighting, you know.
And I think of, even with this radio show, that is going to where the silence is and saying something. And even if someone doesn't agree with everything they hear from you and I, or they maybe they take exception, well, I believe this or that, and that's okay. But at least we're having a dialogue, and we're getting it out there, and we're talking about it. And,
right.
And there's all different points, but the point, but staying silent and that about the stigma and discrimination, again, of, you know, what the media, we hear it over and over again, mental illness. I cringe with those words now only because it was used against me so much.
Right.
I understand if someone wants to use those words, but it was thrown at me so much. It's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like
no, I can understand that. No,
like
I can understand that.
At me in a sense. You know, to be in a divorce court and just hearing from the judge that, oh, no, he's mentally ill. He's mentally ill. No, no, he's not violent. He's not dangerous, but he's mentally ill.
Right.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What does that mean?
He said it right in the beginning. You're not violent. You know?
I'm not violent, but you're mentally ill.
But you're mentally ill, so, you know.
So, what I have learned, you know, you can be highly educated and still ignorant.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You know. Trust me, I know.
So even,
and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about people I know, because I know I'm not highly educated, you know. So.
I'm still learning on all of this, and I can have compassion for what your son and others are going through. I have not walked in their shoes. I've probably experienced some similar hurts in the stigmas and, you know, the
no, you may not have walked in their shoes, but you've walked in a hell road of your own.
Exactly. And
so, I mean, it may not be the exact same. I mean, you know, but believe me, Mike, you know, your path is a hell too, you know.
And that's the thing. And I don't have 5 minutes to tell everybody, look, my childhood was a nightmare. It was a nightmare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little compassion, understanding, maybe when all this stuff came up, all I needed was some compassion and understanding, not condemnation and not blaming you for it. And as you said, I heard that over and over again. It's in the past. Just get over it.
Yeah. And you know,
trust me, I was trying to get over it.
No. And, you know, it's a lot of times it's like a vet coming home from some of the horrors they saw in combat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father would never talk about World War II.
Right.
And the things he saw and the things he had to do. And I understand that, you know. I did a little tour in Vietnam, so I know, you know. And you don't talk about it.
Right.
And, you know, but you never forget it. It's just that you try to go on with your life, you know. It's not that you're going to put it aside and say, oh, well, that's a thing in the past. Yeah, it's in the past, but it's still something may come up on television or in a movie or whatever, and it'll trigger something. And you remember, you know. So it's never going to go away, per se. But so I understand perfectly what you're saying, you know.
Being a vet, exactly, and sometimes something as subtle or as innocuous as some smell or a sound, or maybe someone looks like someone from the past, or that could overwhelm you with those feelings from the past, and you may not even know what's going on or why you're feeling this way. So I know for myself, it's learning to recognize as best I can. Sometimes things are going to come up, but learning new coping skills to get through it and not go back to the old ways how I used to cope, which was is to basically isolate and just shut down. I don't want to do that anymore.
No, you've got a lot to offer to the world and to, you know, the rest of us. And to shut down and just be isolated I would feel very hurt by that, because I think that you're very intelligent. You're very talented. I think what you do and how you present it, whether it's in writings or your monthly, what was it, news thing?
The newsletter.
Newsletter. Okay. I'll get it eventually. And, you know, or your music, or your albums, presentations.
Thank you, Larry.
I think that is, you have no idea, I don't think, the impact you're having. And I think that is awesome. And I want to, want to urge you to continue to do it.
The three things that I work on with this, Larry, am I offering hope, healing, and help in all the different endeavors that I pursue with this? And that's really what I try to do. So something like the newsletter, sharing different resources, or, folks, is it someone who's dealing with schizophrenia? Do they have an art showing? Are they doing some advocacy? Have they written a book, or have they written an album? Sharing what people are doing to show that, no, people are doing great things, and also organizations, or just some really good articles, or in different ways of healing. I truly believe in the holistic things.
Absolutely.
We went for a walk today, and we both, deal with trauma and abuse issues, and there's certain things that, I'll use the term float her boat better for healing, and there's certain things that help me better.
Right.
And we're all different, but to take from all of that, and I just don't think that there's one way, but I try to share all kinds of different ways. And then when I said earlier, I just want folks to know that I'm out there in the public eye, so to speak, but I still, every now and then, I feel overwhelmed and I don't want to do it. So I've learned to take breaks. I just take a break and I just take the day off, if you will.
Absolutely. And you have to. Right. You know, in order to help anybody else, you have to be healthy yourself.
Exactly.
So, and I think that, what you do and the impact you have on all the different people, and I look at, like, what I do, whether with this radio show or whether it's the support groups or whether it's the family-to-family class we teach or the presentations that we give, I just look at, if I help one person, then the whole thing is worthwhile.
I agree.
If I help one person understand what is happening and can help them get through it, one person, that's all. I'd love to help them, many, many more.
Right.
But if only help one, that's fine, because then it's all worthwhile. And I really feel that. And
I agree. And then there's like a ripple effect with the person that you help, they're helping someone else.
Right.
It increases tenfold and then some.
And, it's ironic you had mentioned holistic thing before. There's a young lady who I'm in contact with in California. And she's an Asian young girl, and she's married. She's, I would say early 30s. And she suffers from bipolar and severe depression, et cetera. And she was on the radio one time with me, and we said, I just asked her, I said, well, do you take medication? And she says, no, I do holistic. I'm very into holistic, and I do a lot of gymnastic work, working in the gym. And she was, hesitant to say it because, she almost expected me to say, well, you should have medication.
Right.
And I said to her, well, does it work? And she says, well, it's been working. I said, well, keep it up. Don't stop. I says, just understand that somewhere down the road, maybe you might have to add a little bit of a medication to it, to the holistic, to keep it, in balance. I says, but if not, do what works.
Yeah, because myself, I stopped taking meds many, many years ago. I had to wean off them. But they were having adverse, toxic reactions to me. And, it's 50-60% of us, it either loses its efficacy or it wasn't helping or it's the older medication. But as you say, there are folks, and I have friends, they do take medication and it does help them, and that's fine. We're all different, and you find what is going to work for you, and it's a trial and error process.
Oh, absolutely. But what you do, what works, you know. Right. And if meds work, I know a lot of people on them, and they're I have a very good friend of mine who's a CEO of a large corporation who, you know, takes meds every day, you know, to get through. But it works for him. And I know, like, right. this like this girl, it does. She doesn't take meds, and it works for her. So whatever works, you know. You know, someone says, oh, I eat a pineapple day, and it makes me, you know, get through the day. Hey, keep eating a pineapple, man, you know. It's right. whatever works, you know.
One of my biggest concerns is, is just over-medicating, or it's always trying to do that as a quick fix in this.
Yeah.
And the simple thing of just being able to share and talk with someone can go a long way, which is that untold story inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if there wasn't this stigma and discrimination, the fears around these issues, if we could just talk about it openly in whatever setting, whether it's your church, with your family, and I don't mean that every time you meet someone, say, by the way, when you feel comfortable with someone, that you can raise these things,
mm-hmm.
not
yes.
be ashamed of it.
Right, right. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
When people suffer abuse,
mm-hmm.
how does that impact their being, their everyday lives down the road?
It really is with you for all of your life, and it's learning different coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
And again, okay. this is where I had mentioned earlier, one of the things that helped me in my healing and learning as much as I can, and I continue to learn and study on the effects of trauma and abuse, is how it does change, you know, I'll just use my term, you know, rewires the nervous system, change the development
mm-hmm.
of the
okay.
brain.
Right.
And much like when you were talking, your Vietnam veteran, any mm-hmm. veteran of war. So learning this helped me, and then finding different coping skills, and it's been a process. So, and how has it affected me? Well, you isolate, you don't trust, you know, relationships
okay.
are one of the first to suffer, and it doesn't have to be just a relationship that's of an intimate nature. Think of how many people would be afraid to talk with you right now on your radio show that would be a great guest, but their level of trust and
right.
fear, they just...
Trust
they
me, I know what you're
it.
Saying. You know?
So that has an impact, you know, keeping to yourself. Larry, if we ended trauma and abuse, childhood abuse, and all the things that are going on, we would literally empty the prisons. We really would. Would reduce crime, would cut down so much of all the problems and the health problems in this
mm-hmm.
not in this country but the world. So it has a long-term impact. They have the studies now when you have been impacted by trauma and abuse, you know, as a young child,
mm-hmm.
teenager,
right.
how that manifests itself later on, you know, in heart problems, diabetes, all these cancers, all these different
right.
things. So it's not just me pulling this out of the air. They now have the studies showing this. So if it's not with the way I look at it, Larry, what I have experienced, the hurts that were done to me, it impacted me emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally,
mm-hmm.
you know, sexually, socially. It impacted every facet of my life. So there's been a lot of healing to do, and I'm still in that process. I'm in a better state, but it impacted every part of my life. And
right.
before, a lot of times I wasn't even aware of it. I was so busy. For me, I was always running from it. I did not want to talk about it. So I was the ultimate workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
that, you know, that looks good on the outside. But if I'm so busy running to stay busy, you know, that's really not a good thing. That was unhealthy.
Right, right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're very privileged today to have Michael Skinner with us. And he is from New Hampshire, and he has a guitar and he travels. So, Mike, hang on there 1 second, all right? We'll be back in just a few minutes. I have some commercials I have to do.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with celebrationofalifetime.com. I joined the chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to ForwardNewJersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have Mike Skinner with us today. And Mike is up in New Hampshire. Is it cold up there right now?
It's in, I'd say, like the low 30s. So it's just
that's a warm spell.
we're having yes, it's a heat wave.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sub-zero.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at a big puddle out front of my house. But last night it rained, but it was just a sheet of ice.
Oh, yeah. Well,
today's weather report.
Right. But then I gave the weather report, and I don't know how it is for New Hampshire, but it's supposed to snow tomorrow. Wednesday. Wednesday is supposed to snow. But we've been speaking, and I got to ask, and I pretty much know the answer already, but people out there may not. Victims of sexual abuse, do you ever get over it?
No.
I didn't think so. No, I pretty much knew the answer to that, but
it's always with you. In fact, you're going to mention my website. I've written a couple blogs or articles on them. They're right there, and it actually says that, you know, do you ever get over it? Because it's always with you. It's a hurt. It's a pain. It's inside. It's outside of you. It's always there. It's taken me a lot to find ways to move on with my life. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I call it that shadow comes across of that pain or that hurt. And this is where, you know, the mindfulness and just being aware that, okay, this is a sad or a hurtful feeling of the past. It's not happening in the present. Try to just be with it and let it be and not fight it. It soon comes the past. But, Larry, I turned 60 several months ago. I think this is going to be with me till I pass away. You know, that's,
you're a young guy.
I'm a young guy.
Yeah, compared to me, you're a young guy. I've spoken to many professionals and therapists and such who say that art and music is very helpful in calming down a person.
Mm-hmm.
I know the answer to this question too, but I'd like you to tell it to the audience. You know, do you find that to be so?
It absolutely is so. So remember when I was just talking about when I have those down moments?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm a drummer. I'm also a guitar player and a singer, but I started drumming at the age of 10, and I did that for many years professionally. And I still play on the weekends with a band doing classic rock and oldies. And that's fine professionally, and it's also great for me, my mental health and just getting out. But every day, if I don't sit down at a drum set, I have three congas set up, or I have a djembe, and I just, you know, play those. And it may be just a minute, it may be several minutes, but it helps me either picking up the guitar or just listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at a beautiful piece of art, and I have some nice things in my office and in the home that were, you know,
mm-hmm.
people have
right.
Created for me or given to me. And so the creative arts are so important, and I know and music is huge. That just reaches so many levels of who we are and what we are, and it can soothe us. You know, that saying, music calms the savage beast. Well, you know, it's true. It can calm you down. Whether you know, if it's you want to listen to some loud, angry rock and roll, or something nice and peaceful.
Something peaceful and country. Yeah.
Or exactly.
That's me. I'm country.
It doesn't matter what form it is. It's really, again, this is, you know, personal preferences. What kind of music you
right,
like?
Right. That in the 50s.
And that's part of what I always push is, because I truly believe everyone's creative in one way, and it's to follow your creative muse. And I don't mean that you have to try to go out and do that as your job or whatever, but just whatever brings pleasure to
mm-hmm.
you, whatever
right.
your passion is, you know, whether if you like to quilt, I mean, that's creative.
Right, you know? Right, whatever. You know, my wife goes, I'm not a gardenist. I hate to cut the grass. Because I've got bad allergies, and cut grass just gives me headaches, and my nose runs, my eyes water, they get swelled and all that jazz. But my wife loves to go out in the garden and dig and, you know, plant flowers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her, you know, go play in the dirt, you know, that's what you like. That's what calms you. That's what may get you through the day, a rough day. Fine. Knock yourself out, you know. And I tell that to other people, whatever you like, do it.
Right.
Even if it's taking a dog for a walk around a block, you know,
exactly.
I mean, whatever it is that calms you down, or, you know, your attention is diverted to, say, the dog rather than, you know, the situation in the house or whatever, that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because the creative arts, and as you mentioned, walking, just the simple act of walking, some physical exercise, and you don't have to be trying to train for the marathon, just getting out there. I also like to dig in the dirt. So when it's nicer weather, if I'm really stressed, I'll pull some weeds. And as corny sounding as that is, I do that for 5 or 10 minutes. It distracts me, and then I feel better.
I keep telling my wife to make bigger flower beds, so I don't have to less grass I have to cut. You know. She just looks at me with that look, you know. You know the look women give you, you know, that look, you know. would you like to give out your website, Facebook, phone number, Surviving Spirit, whatever, you know, all that, all of the above?
My website, it's mskinnermusic, it's all one word, .com. So again, it's mskinnermusic.com. The Surviving Spirit website is just survivingspirit.com. And if folks, you know, forget that or whatever, you can Google Surviving Spirit, you know, newsletter or website. You'll find it. If you Google Michael Skinner, you know, musician, mental health advocate, I should come up. Those that are listening, I would strongly recommend checking out my website and the articles and the blogs that I post and the resources that I share. There's also a lot of resources that I share at both websites that really don't pertain to me, but it's different avenues of trying to heal and offer,
right.
you know, whole healing and help. And then
once a month is that newsletter that you were talking about. And as you can attest to, it's full of a lot of great resources.
Oh, it's awesome. It really is. I don't even want to imagine how long it takes you to dig up all that stuff to put it in.
It's a process. And then I always feel bad for the stuff that I have to, you know, I can't put in because I, you know, it would just be too much.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can save that for next month.
Doing it, it's a labor of love, but it's sharing lots of great resources to get out there. So that's, again, folks can sign up at the newsletter, at the website, Surviving Spirit newsletter, and they can just, you know, sign me up, or they can just read it online as well.
It is awesome. I got to tell you, like I've said before, I've looked at your Facebook. I've read your Facebook, your webpage. I'm amazed that you have that much courage and strength. I really do. And I truly respect you and your work you're doing. I think that, you know, it takes a lot to go through what you have gone through and now want to turn around and help others. And I think that's awesome. I really do.
Thank you. And, well, Larry, you know, if a lot of us, we can't undo what we went through, but by golly, if we can help make the world a better place for others and those growing up and those currently living in the world and those to come, you know, that in of itself is a good thing. So,
it is. And also on your webpage and such, you have a section there of where your music is, right, for your albums?
Exactly. They can hear.
They can listen to it and buy it
yep.
because I think they're great. I've listened to them, and I'm serious. I wouldn't say it if I didn't think so.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And we have to do this again, Michael.
Excellent. Well, I enjoy talking. It's like two guys just, you know, sitting down chit-chatting.
Right.
The only thing that's missing is the coffee.
Well, yeah, exactly. but then I'd have to run to the bathroom all the time, so I just have to pass that. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters and our guest, Michael Skinner. And if you want to get a hold of him, it's www.mskinnermusic.com. And believe me, you will enjoy reading everything that's on there. Michael, we'll be back in touch. I will email with you in the next couple of days, and you definitely have to come back on.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your week.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks. This is Larry Cartwright. We'll be here next week from 2 to 3. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you then.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama is expected to call for tax increases on the rich to fund middle-class programs when he gives his State of the Union address tomorrow. AP correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer tells CBS Face the Nation that the president wants to increase the capital gains tax for families making $500,000 or more a year, eliminate some inheritance tax breaks, and impose additional fees on financial firms.
The wealthy to pay a little more and invest more in the middle class, give the middle class a raise.
But Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, also on Face the Nation, calls the idea of taking from one class to give to another outdated.
In order for some people to do better, someone has to do worse. It's just not true.
The administration estimates that the proposals would generate $320 billion over a 10-year period.
At the same time, Republicans want to lower or eliminate the capital gains tax and want to end taxes on estates. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeHowILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuvina, probably, I want to say 60, 65 days ago, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuvina because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuvina Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2-and-a-chew weight loss system from ILikeHowILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. This could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ilikehowilook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ilikehowilook.com.
The Associated Press reports at least 14 people were killed over the weekend when the island nation of Madagascar was battered by a tropical storm, officials said.